Hi guys, welcome back to Happy Being Well. Today we have an exciting guest. We have the beautiful Lorna Grayling, and she really has been through an ordeal that most people have not experienced. In fact, she's actually written about this ordeal in a book that is Amazon's number one new release. And I was speaking with her earlier, and I'm pretty sure in the future it may become a movie from what it sounds like to me. I'm pretty sure some producer is going to pick up on it because this is a phenomenal story that is just jaw-dropping. So before we dive deep with Lorna, and we're going to be talking all things, you know, obviously personal development. She has a background. She is gorgeous. For those who are on audio, she is gorgeous. If you go to her website, lornagrayling.com, you'll see how gorgeous she is. She's a former model and former news anchor. She has her own TV show today as a TV presenter, motivating women to their excellence. So before we dive deep with Lorna and discussing her, you know, her traumas and how she went from and to be continue to be triumphant today. This podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for creative, high quality leggings, 100% natural facial masks, crystals, sage, Palo Santo, natural essential oils, aromatherapy diffusers, natural deodorants, natural bath soaps, and much more at happybeingwell.com. Free shipping in the USA on all items. Use code PODCAST25 for 25% off all leggings. So Lorna, we had a brief conversation prior to the podcast. Wow, like your book that you wrote, Kidnapped, which people, by the way, you can find it on her website for purchase, lornagrayling.com, or simply just go on Amazon. So tell us, what happened? Like, what's this book about? You can tell us.
Yeah. Hi, Rita. Thank you so much for the opportunity. This is such a blessing. I really appreciate it. Yes, my book is called Kidnapped. It's a true story. It's a story about my husband. He's a sound engineer and a comms engineer. He works on big productions, sport productions. He did the Olympic Games in Japan end of last year, Miss Universe as well, various different productions. But in this specific production, he was working in Africa, in Nigeria at the time, and they were doing a big soccer, or as some may call it, a football match. And they were basically finished filming the match and traveling in their crew bus to take a flight back to Lagos, which is the capital city of Nigeria. And on the way there, their bus was literally ambushed by 55 rebel forces with AK-47 guns and rocket launchers, which is like huge, you know, guns that they use in big military operations. Some of these men were dressed in military uniforms, which, you know, allowed us to think that they might be part of the military. We don't know yet, you know, who was involved in it, but nevertheless, this was crazy. It was literally sitting on the bus, and the next minute the bus stopped and they just started hitting the bus next to his face by the window, then ran in, pulled him out by his hair, took everything off him that was valuable, literally turned around, shot one of his crew members, completed a whole magazine in his body, shot one of his other friends in the leg, literally. And they shoot until they can hear the bone break. Is something that actually told him later on while they were holding him hostage. But really, really, you know, people with no moral values, with no sense of appreciation for any life, literally just, you know, wanting that. It's like a job for them. They completely just, I don't know how to describe these people. You know, I never want to call anybody evil, but this is definitely a type of person that has no morals. And yes, they pushed him into a car with other hostages, and they started speeding. So in Nigeria, they have a lot of police blockages, they basically stop people, you know, generally actually to check for various different things. So as this group of rebels with stolen cars and hostages were speeding down the roads, they came up to police blockages and police blockades, basically. And so the police would be shooting at the rebels and the rebels would be shooting back at the police. And in the middle was my husband and the other hostages with the guns and bullets literally flying past their heads into the cars everywhere. Innocent bystanders would be shot. People would be killed. It was literally a war zone. So yeah, it's like a movie, I would say. So hopefully we would be able to make a movie out of it one day. So yeah, this story, you know, they basically got to a place eventually where they held him hostage and for ransom. And so for me on the other side, I would have to negotiate for his life, basically. So these rebels would phone me. While they were with me on the phone, they would take off my husband's clothes and beat him with the flat side of a machete, which is like a big steel blade. And the sounds of that blade against his naked body is literally something that you don't only hear, it penetrates your body. You can feel it. And the screams that comes out of his mouth, you know, is the screams of someone that is literally going to die any moment. And he would be screaming at the top of his lungs, saying, "Help me, Lorna, help me, help me, please help me." And he would be screaming in agony. And he would say, "They're going to kill me, they're going to kill me." And then the rebels would shoot and kill the phone. And there would just be dead silence on the other side of the line. And I wouldn't know is he dead? Is he alive? Did they shoot him? I had three small children at the time. The baby was barely 1 year old. So it was an absolute crazy time for me as a mother to parent, deal with these people that have no moral values. They would send me messages and tell me to pick a coffin, swearing and screaming at me over the phone. So I had to deal with something that I definitely wasn't equipped for. And I wrote this book because during this time, I discovered so many truths that helps me now in my life, actually, when I go through really, really difficult times. And one of them is just, it sounds like a simple thing, but it's literally taking fear and placing faith over it. And it's not necessarily, you know, just for religious people, but in every single opportunity and in every day that we have, we are constantly facing fearful thoughts. For me at the time, the thoughts were definitely there that they had killed my husband. I had to deal with all that, but until I could prove his death, I had to live. And I had to operate, and I had to raise kids, and I had to work, and I had to do a whole lot of things. And just succumbing to the fear and the fearful thoughts, that just drains you. It means a certain death, you know, in your emotions. It literally takes the life out of you. But replacing fear with thoughts of hope and faith, that brings life, and that is a very practical, I like practical things. But for me, that was a very practical time in my life to literally speak faithful things, believe faithful thoughts. Every time I think he's dead, they killed him, I would replace those thoughts with, you know, what if he's alive? What if he will survive this? Thoughts like, if he does die, I believe, I'm a Christian, but I believe that God will take me through this. I believe that I will get through it. I believe that I will have the strength to raise my kids alone if I have to. And I mean, that sounds, you know, harsh, but those are the kind of thoughts that I had to keep on meditating on to have hope. Because just to stay in a negative thought and stay in a negative atmosphere, it causes huge anxiety and it literally drains the energy out of you. And so, yeah, that is something that I still use today. I just this morning, it's actually so interesting. And I mean, this is something small that maybe more people can relate to because not everybody's husband has been kidnapped. But this morning, I had to take my car in for repairs. And it seems like it's really big. It's leaking oil everywhere. It's leaking water. It's making really horrible sounds. I just bought this car like 2 weeks ago from a dealer and they, you know, won't hear anything about it. They're like, no, it's a secondhand car. It's your problem. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be thousands of dollars. I don't have the money right now. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to fix this car? What am I going to do with this car? So immediately my whole head fills with thoughts of fear, right? I go to a proper dealership. The quote they gave me, $10,000 to fix the car. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't do this. Yeah, right. So obviously, you know, I go home and fear wants to just overwhelm me. So I had to really exchange those thoughts with new ones saying, all right, these are the facts that I'm faced with. I trust God, you know, in my circumstance, but I trust that there will be a way out. I trust that maybe tomorrow morning I'll wake up, I'll find another dealer that can do this for me for a lot cheaper. Maybe, you know, it's not that bad. Maybe it's just something small. Maybe they overlooked something or whatever the case is. And so I did. I mean, I went this morning, I found another dealer, a really sweet guy, private guy, and he was so kind and he is looking at the car for me now. He found a problem that might be related to, you know, everything being wrong. The air conditioning is broken. There's so many problems. And yeah, I don't have the full quote yet. I'm still waiting. But just the fact that I was able to replace my thoughts of fear and not hang on to them in the meanwhile, because what is going to happen is going to happen. I mean, if this car is going to cost me a fortune to replace, that is going to be just how it is. It is what it is. You know, and spending all my energy and time in fear and wishing for it not to be true is not going to change the outcome. But for me, being hopeful, having faith that whatever happens, I will have the strength to get through it. I will find the funds to get through it. God is going to make a way for me in somehow. Those kind of thoughts and belief systems, it gives hope and joy and peace. And to meditate on that gives me a whole different perspective, you know, and helps me to parent in the meantime, because, you know, when I'm down and out, I still have kids, I still have to work, I still, it literally just affects everybody around you, you know, when you succumb to negativity. And that is something that I learned during the kidnapping, and I'm very grateful for that. I remember I used to, in the times and hours that went past since I heard the shooting, you know, I would literally stand and worship, put on music, sing, and really focus on positive things, positive thoughts, being outside, sitting in nature, and doing things that I can to pass the time Because yeah, one's mind can literally drive you crazy. So
ain't that the truth? It's all on our mind and how we respond to things. But you know, you've been through, that's the ultimate like ordeal, is to have your husband kidnapped and like in such a torturous, like unimaginable way that we only see it in the movies. I guess, you know, as you're explaining this horrible ordeal with the car, I guess you'd like, well, it's not as bad as that. It's like, I came through that. So I can, you know, you could always, it's like you become more stronger in dealing with, I want to say traumas too. Cause like I myself have been to in the past, like going to bringing my car, whenever the car like break, like something wrong with the car, even just like, the fact that something was wrong with the car, it's like, that's like a trauma to me. It's like, oh my God, now I gotta go and figure out what's wrong with it. And I don't know what they're gonna say. And I always think it's gonna be this huge bill. Sometimes, most of the time it's not. I always think it's like this big, huge bill. It's energy draining, it's inconvenient. And these are things that it shows up in any form in our lives, not just anything. Like, the roof is leaking, flood in the basement, you know, the window broke or something. Like,
absolutely.
So always
There's always something. It's so, so true. And it can be something really small, but in one's mind, we can sometimes blow it up to something so big that will literally drain the life out of you. And, you know, we do that and think that it's kind of normal behavior. And then we don't understand sometimes why we're constantly depressed and feeling low on energy and just drained and, you know, without any hope. And we can't really be creative when we're drained and feel hopeless. So, you know, it's a complete vicious circle. But in the exact same way that we can blow something small out of proportion and think to ourselves that this is big, this is a big problem, this is a huge thing, we can exactly do the opposite. We can take in our minds, but this takes training. I mean, it's not that simple. I do understand that, but we can take something really big and, you know, make it into something really small in our minds and just say, look, this is not so bad. This is not the end of the world. It might feel like the end of my world as I know it right now. You know, and it might be. I mean, I've lost, I owned the biggest wellness center and day spa in Melville. It's an area in South Africa. And during COVID lockdown in South Africa, we lost everything. I lost everything I ever worked for 20 years. My business, my staff, my house, my cars, literally everything. And, you know, that was the end of my world as I knew it. But for me, to take what I have, use the skills that I have in terms of mental health, in terms of keeping hope, keeping my faith, putting one foot in front of the next, I was able to, you know, take what I've got, move to a different country. I moved to America. I arrived with two suitcases and I'm launching my very own television show on Sunday on a huge channel. We have DistroTV has over 250 million users, and you know, life can change so quickly, but it can go either way. It can change for the positive. It can change for the negative. We never know. In one moment, everything is still going well. The next minute, my husband was kidnapped, right? One minute, we were still working. The next minute, COVID hit. And we just have to deal with what life throws at us. But if we can implement these mental truths and skills, it makes the in-between bearable and joyful. And I think that is the key to happy living. It's not easy, you know. Some days are better than others, I have to admit. But I have this really easy explanation for it. And I literally, you know, speak to my kids as well. I tell them to exercise their mental muscles of hope. And it's literally exercising, it doesn't come naturally. It almost comes more natural for us to think the worst and to expect the worst. It's almost a more natural, you know, thing humanly. I don't know why we do that, but it's like, it's not natural when something awful happens to expect the best. It's like, we're not wired that way, but we can wire ourselves that way, and we can implement that kind of thinking and meditate on it and exercise our mental muscles of hope. And yeah, it's like training in the gym. Some days are better than others, but the longer we do it, the more regular we do it, the stronger we will get and the happier our lives will be. And bad things will still hit us. I mean, this is life, you know, until the day we die, good things and bad things will come. There's nothing we can do about it. But we can do something about the in-between and how we handle that. And I'm so passionate about that. And that's why I wrote this book, exactly for that reason, is to show people that your worst nightmare can really become a testimony and a triumph, and it can teach other people something and impact their lives and, you know, give them a little bit of hope in their scenarios. We never know who we can touch through our stories and who we can inspire. And I believe that that's what life is really all about, right? It's just to make a difference even in one person's life, just one day at a time. And it gives us purpose, and it's good. It's good to be, you know, helping other people and being that person just to spread some love and some hope. So I'm very grateful that I can do that.
And I love that, you know, practice your mental muscles of hope. And it's absolutely so true. It's, you know, it really is, you know, we need to, you know, be more flexible thinkers. I think it's so easy to get locked into a rigid way of thinking, you know, just due to the programming and what we've been exposed to due to our upbringing and all the institutions that are influencing us, you know, institutions meaning the media, you know, what we're exposed to in school, you know, our friendship groups and stuff. So it's a very, you know, it's limiting, right? So it's limited based on what's around us, what we see and what we pick up. And also not everybody picks up, some people just focus on certain messages more than other messages, just I would say predominantly based on your childhood and what you've been molded into thinking predominantly. So it's so important, you know, that we flex those, expand our thinking, expand what's possible, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's just by default, you know, everyone's in our society, everybody wants to fit in. And we basically, you know, I always say like, oh my goodness, like Hollywood, you owe me 10 years of my life. You told me The Notebook was real. I was searching for the guy in The Notebook for, you know, this guy in The Notebook, you know.
Movies are not real. You know, that is really a problem these days that the younger generation grow up with so much media, social media, movies, films, and they think that that is real and it's not. And that I really foresee, you know, is a very big problem. But I always say, I mean, you mentioned something, you know, your surroundings and your friends and all that. I always tell my kids, show me your friends and I will show you your future. It's a very, very important thing to be selected and selective about the people that surround your life and your inner circle. We often, you know, especially on social media and TikTok, we want lots of friends, lots of attention. You know, that's kind of how it's portrayed out there. But in actual fact, it's very important that we surround ourselves with like-minded people, positive people, people that can stand by us, people that we can learn from. You know, what we put into our minds ultimately and into our lives is what will come out in situations of trial and tribulation, basically. So if we keep on putting fake things in, or watching movies or films or things that really isn't doing anything positive in our minds, it's no wonder that half the population suffers from severe depression and literally just falls down when any trouble hits, because there's nothing inside to provide any strength or tools. And while my husband was being kidnapped, at that time we were in a phenomenal church in South Africa with such a supportive home cell group, friends, people who literally came in and carried me through this. If it wasn't for them, I really wouldn't have gone through that horrific ordeal with such grace and so much support and so much strength. I would have probably ended up in a hospital somewhere on a drip, exhausted and, you know, anxiety and complete breakdown. It's very, very important that we do make a very big effort to surround ourselves with good information, good friends, and invest in these kind of things. It takes time and effort. Good friends just don't come around. They're just not everywhere to be found. One's got to, you know, really look for them and invest in them, and then they invest in you. It's a process. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, key word, you know, in investing, you know, in your friends, and yeah, having that reciprocated back. In coming from a genuine place as well, like you don't want to come from it as from a calculating way either. Of course, you want it to be genuine and authentic as well. To experience, you know, we need to cultivate love in our lives. You know, we need to cultivate love for ourselves, cultivate love for others. You know, and yeah, I'm loving everything that you're saying, and you're absolutely right. Depression is up and anxiety is up more than it ever has been before. And also too, like there's also people are now kind of having grievances with this new culture emerging, like, oh, I don't like what you're saying. That doesn't make me feel good. Like, kind of like you're canceled, like, as opposed to, you know, just allowing people, let it roll off your back and allow them, you know, like to have their opinion or whatever. And unless, of course, it's like they are insulting you directly or hurting you in any way, yes, cancel them out of your life. Cancel, cancel, cancel. Like, all narcissists are canceled.
Yeah, canceled. Absolutely. I mean, and no relationship is perfect. No friend out there. There's no perfect people out there. But I love what you were saying is to allow the things to roll off your back, you know. And that really only comes with self-love and self-confidence. When we know who we are inside, when we have we love ourselves, when we love who we are, we know we have a purpose, we are uniquely made for a purpose, you know, we don't have to be like anybody else, and we have faith in that, that gives us a beautiful sense of confidence in ourselves. So, you know, when we work on that, it allows us to, you know, have things roll off our back, because we know, like, that is not true. And if they do say something that, you know, you think, well, maybe I can look at that, you know, maybe I do have a problem with that, is to see what we can do about it. All right. So, okay, maybe I do have that issue. Let me see, is there something I can do to improve on that? But not to take it personally and hang on to that kind of fear, like, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, you know, I'm a terrible person and this person don't like me and I have to be something to be liked. And, you know, that again is fear. And we don't want to go that way. We want to have faith in who we are and that we're special and that we're uniquely made. And to be unapologetically you. There's no one in the world that can be me, and there's no one that can be you. And, you know, we're all unique. And when we find confidence in that uniqueness, that makes us really powerful, and it puts less pressure on everybody else. Then if we don't know who we are, if we have a lack of confidence in ourselves, it places a lot of pressure on the people around us to make us feel better about ourselves. And, you know, that is always Something that you know, I see a lot, that people struggle to find friends, but it's because they're so insecure, and then they put so much pressure on other people that nobody wants to be their friend because it's too tiring. You know, so it's always good to go and look at ourselves and see, all right, where can I improve? What can I do to invest in my life as a person, and to work on that, work on ourselves and love ourselves. That's the key. I mean, I remember when I was younger, much, much younger, I was thin, skinny, beautiful. I did gymnastics. I had like 8 blocks on my stomach. I was like, you know, and I thought I was the ugliest, fattest person alive. I had no self-confidence. I never believed I could do anything, you know, that's worth anything. And that belief system, you know, that is so, so depressing to have. So, and I'm so grateful that I've been able to work on that in the past 25 years, I think. It's very powerful when we start to realize that we are unique and that there's power in that.
Absolutely. And I think you've also raised a really great point in what's happening in the cultures, and that, yeah, a lot of people now are not having a lot of friends or no friends. This is a reoccurring theme I'm seeing amongst, you know, big YouTubers, you know, saying that they're introverts and they spend a lot, like they prefer just being alone. And I feel, you know, my interpretation of this new movement of like embracing aloneness, I mean, I've had to do that. I am not against it. I feel like I feel like it's kind of almost needed for a reset. I did it too. I disconnected to reconnect to myself. However, I also feel like too, because a lot of the times when you hear people do, it's like, oh, you know, they're always running up against toxic people. So I feel like everyone is like, we had so much toxicity, you know, in our culture, in terms of different forms of relationships, whether they be coworkers or friendships or whatever it is, like romantic relationships, you know, that everyone's kind of like taking a time out, go to your corners, you know, figure out your bad behavior. You'll be released when you're all good. That's just kind of like my kind of take on it. And it's kind of funny. It's like, we're all giving ourselves a time out.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a time out, like you say, it's not a bad thing to have an occasional time out. I think it's a good thing that one can, you know, reassess. But then we need to take that time and actually reassess and think about where we are and where we want to be and what we can improve in the process. How are we going to get from point A to point B? So, you know, once we've decided that, then comes the difficult process of implementing the changes and being, you know, diligent with those implementations. I mean, nothing comes from nothing. We have this incredible world out there of wisdom. By a click of a button, you can watch YouTube videos, podcasts, and get the most phenomenal information that is really powerful. And I'm so grateful for that, because we need to do that. We need to look for that, you know, how to improve on ourselves. But if we don't implement it diligently, nothing will change. And I think that is the problem. I think people kind of want to hide behind, yeah, being an introvert, you know, that's fine. So if you're an introvert, that's great. Acknowledge it. Let's acknowledge, all right, I'm an introvert. That's not necessarily good to be an introvert, you know, all the time. I'm not necessarily going to reach a certain amount of success in my life if I just hide behind the fact that I'm an introvert, right? It's good to acknowledge it. Now I can grow the areas that I'm weak in. So how do I grow that? How am I going to be a person that can invest in others' lives, that can have healthy friendships, that can be a healthy and happy person? in a general lifestyle. I think people label themselves and then hide behind the labels. That's not necessarily good. It's a good thing to find the problem, but then how do we fix it? Because it's the fixing that's the hard part, but it's the fixing that is going to give us victory. So at the end of the day, we need to decide, do I want to stay where I am now forever? Or do I want to improve my life? And I mean, that's just a choice that no one can make for us. We have to do that, unfortunately, ourselves.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, you need to, you know, spend time alone to figure out, you know, why are you creating toxic relationships? Why are you repeating? Like, where are these patterns coming from? Blow out your traumas. I first of all, recognize what your traumas are, because not everybody has big traumas. You know, like being kidnapped by, you know, psychopaths and or any type of physical violence. It could be little minor traumas, you know, that you have to identify, you know, like emotional abuse or whatever that was a little bit more indirect, and to identify it most importantly. And because it's really easy to normalize minor little traumas that you grew up in, that you've been familiarized with, and then later on as adult, you know, you recreate the same minor traumas over and over again in the form of stressing yourself out, that creates anxiety due to the relationships you choose to be a part of and tolerate, and then you hit adrenal burnout, and then you're like, hey, what's going on here? And then you examine it,
yeah,
and recorrect it, and then try to familiarize yourself with much more healthier relationships. And expanding your mind and expanding, you know, just basically we have to be flexible thinkers. We have to expand our consciousness, listening to podcasts like this, the Happy Being Well podcast, reading Lorna's book, Kidnapped. And where is your show? Can they find your show on going onto your website?
Yes. It's they can have a look on my website. I will have it on there, but it's on Distro TV. It's an app that you can download. It's on any smartphone, smart TV. It's like Netflix or any of those apps. So it's Distro, like D-I-S-T-R-O. Yeah, let me just get that right. Distro TV. And they will just search for CJC. It's the network that it's on, and it's on Sundays at 8 p.m. It's called Woman Power, and it's wonderful interviews with powerful women, literally just picking their brains to find out what is their secret to success, because we can learn from each other, and our stories carries so much value and so much weight. And, you know, every day we're alive, we need something new. It's a new day. And stories are so powerful. We just might hear something from someone else that you think, oh yeah, you know, I can use that in my day today, and it can make my day better. And that's what it's all about, you know, just taking it one day at a time and pushing through and just implementing these small truths. And before we know it, we can have happy and healthy lives. It's possible. But yeah, it's definitely not easy. We have to do something about it.
Yes, we have to do the inner work and do shadow work, you know, release our crap, clear out our crap. So to invite good things into our lives. And most importantly, being well. This is what I'm all about. Happy, being well is.
Yeah.
So we have to have an integrated approach. You know, our body has to be healthy, live a healthy lifestyle in all ways, mind, body, and spirit in all ways. You know, what we put in our body, what we put on our body, what we feed our minds with.
And I can maybe just add this last little bit. It's, you know, just simplify, you know, your process. I think you mentioned something earlier on, you know, just burnout. A lot of people are completely burned out or have a breakdown, you know, mental breakdown. And then once that has happened, it's a real good indicator to tell us that what we've been doing up to now isn't working. But it can feel very overwhelming. You know, it can feel really, really big. It doesn't have to be big. It can literally just tell you that you've reached a moment and a time in your life to see that you have to change something. And even if we just change one thing at a time, but be diligent in implementing that change, we will be seeing victory. You know, a lot of times when we have a breakdown, it's a big thing. We feel overwhelmed. It feels absolutely huge. And we realize, but there's so many things we have to change in our lives. You know, we get all this advice, you know, you've got to change this, do that, listen to that. Like, wow, I don't even have energy to open my eyes. Nevertheless, change all those things. Are you nuts? But just change one thing, at least for 14 days, 1 week, even if it's just getting up, making your bed, and drinking at least, say, 4 glasses of water every single day, and walking outside, you know, having some just small things, and just do that for 14 days and in diligence do that. Already one will start to feel a difference. And then, you know, you can change more things. But I think people, you know, they have too much information. And they want to change too many things at once because they want a quick change. But there's nothing quick about being emotionally healthy, unfortunately. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort over a long period of time. So, that is just something that I've learned. So don't get discouraged. Just one thing at a time. And if you fail, just fine, just get up again tomorrow and try again. Just don't stop.
I equate it to, it's like going to the gym, except that this is more of a neuro gym, like more of a mental gym.
Yeah.
That requires you to be the observer of yourself and requires you to be more aware of yourself. And aware of, you know, but becoming more aware of how the external world is affecting you and how you're reacting to the external world. And, you know, what choices can you make to make your inner and outer world more peaceful? You know, if you have toxic friendships, it took me a long time to do it because I kept hearing it. You know, I remember when I embarked on my entrepreneurial journey, oh goodness, like over 10 years ago, I would go to all the personal development seminars. And that was like one of the things. I would always say, cut off toxic, really, cut it off, cut it. And it's like, and first of all, it took me a long time to even identify what was really toxic, because the toxic people that were in my life, they weren't always toxic. They were like, it was like, they could be really, really nice. And then they go back to being toxic in the form of, you know, not really being there for you when you're always there for them. And then they go back to being really nice and sweet at times to hook you in. Anyways, it was just a whole ordeal for me. And also too, it was always like really super strong. And I was like, oh, I'm strong enough to just like deal with it, not let their toxicity, you know, enter my psyche and affect me as if I have some kind of shield or something that I can bounce it off. But the reality of it is, even though I'm consciously like saying that, your subconscious mind, you know, is taking that in, like as if you're pouring water into a glass. So your subconscious mind is just, it is going into your system as they complain or as whatever toxic behavior they're displaying, energy that they're releasing upon you. So once I actually cut those people off, everybody, I really then was able to catapult and have more energy for myself, think more clearly, you know, like you said before, be more creative, all these things. And just, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, this is why every single personal development leader, guru, expert is literally always, always preaching, cut off toxic people. Like it's a real thing. It actually, there is makes a huge significance to your life.
Yeah.
Because it is very, very draining. And you're sending a message to your subconscious mind that, you know, you're not worthy, you know, because you're allowing that, you're hurting yourself by allowing these people to basically hurt you. And I think that as a culture, we think hurt, you know, we always, well, for me anyways, and I can just speak for myself, I always think hurt of like, you know, physical violence or, you know, maybe like direct insults. And these people don't necessarily, most of the time, don't typically directly call you names, but it's always in this covert and direct way that they can be hurting you by causing you to be upset or challenging how you think, you know, challenge or trying to get sending like, oh, this is not the right opinion. This opinion is correct. You know, you're like basically gaslighting. They're doing a lot of gaslighting to you. To reframe it as if you're the problem. And anyways, they just come from a negative energy space in the form of negativity, whatever that looks like. So you definitely don't want to be around a negative energy like that they're always looking for ways to cause stress, to cause a stress response from you, cause anxiety, and thereby draining your energy. Like I remember talking to these people on the phone, like I needed to have a nap afterwards. Like,
yeah,
it's just not worth it. It's not healthy. And the more and more people that can cut off talks of people like that, eventually, hopefully we'll get to a place where people, they will no longer, you know, have it be able to receive attention. Or get rewarded based on their toxic behavior. And hopefully this will motivate them to adopt more healthier behavior towards people, you know, and jump on the self-love bandwagon, you know.
And yeah, absolutely. And I think the more we work on ourselves and we love ourselves, and we get stronger within ourselves, the more we can withstand other people's negative energy, and we don't have to allow them to drain us as much. So it's because it's sometimes hard. I mean, we can choose our friends. That's easy. Well, not easy, but I mean, we can definitely choose that and cut out bad friendships. But in a working environment or in a worldly environment, we can't always choose who we have to deal with. And sometimes it's those kind of relationships that can also really be very, very hard. And in those circumstances, we have to, you know, really work hard at not allowing them to affect us. And that is not easy, but it is definitely possible if we can start working on that, because we'll never have a perfect world where everybody is just nice and kind. Although that would be lovely. If everybody has good energy and everybody's kind and nice to you.
We actually might. Neuralink, Elon Musk.
Yeah. That would be awesome if everybody could be nice, let me tell you. Yeah. But, you know, it's not like that, unfortunately. And we have to work at not allowing the negative people to affect us, especially long term. I mean, obviously, if you get, you know, to do with a very negative person in that moment, it's not nice. But then one's just got to cut that off, lay it down, shake it off. You know, if you have to speak to yourself, find your faith in yourself, find faith in your situation, you know, and yeah, just don't allow them to affect us. That's strong, being strong from inside. And that takes training, unfortunately. It doesn't come naturally.
Our future will be a very interesting, you know, I would, you know, because this whole, what we're talking about right now is a huge movement. I've never seen so much self-love and so much, you know, people talking about self-love is a huge one. And I'll just limit it to that. There's other personal development topics that are also trending. And now I've also interviewed influencers from the Gen Z generation, and they totally get it. They don't want to deal with toxicity. Mm-hmm. They're independent. They're forming their own businesses. They're still going to school while having their, because people are like, wow. Like when I was freaking 22, I was concerned, where's the hottest club I'm going to? Like after I finished writing my exam, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, hey, exams are over. You know, like that was what was encompassing my mind. I can't imagine school, you know, they're forming, you know, literally highly successful businesses. Like they're making six figures already. I interviewed one Gen Z, phenomenal influencer, actress, music producer. She produced a very successful, her show, The Conversationalist, is taking off. I mean, they are just like, they don't tolerate negative workplaces. I think this is the main fuel of them launching their own stuff. So So I think as Gen Z, because now they're, you know, they're going to be taking on senior leadership roles. And I just feel like, I really do feel like this toxic behavior that's been going on for so long, I don't know. I think, you know, I have hope for Gen Z that it's going to shift. And with all of this self-love talk, I've never seen a huge amount of podcasts, books, YouTube channels, like on a mass scale like this today than I've ever seen before. And everyone's, even celebrities are talking about it. Celebrities have their podcasts talking about self-love and therapy and how, you know, their therapeutic sessions. Like it's, so I feel like as time progresses, it's, it'd be interesting. Like, you know, I really don't think that moving forward, these toxic workplaces are going to be able to thrive anymore. I feel like they're going to be dinosaurs. I'm already seeing it right now. We're seeing people refusing to go back to the office. There's more and more people now working remotely, just, you know, for various reasons. So I really do feel like if the workplace, I feel like they really do have to create a much more positive atmosphere now. I think it's going to be workers now, we have more power. Like people have, it's becoming like, because we have the power now to launch our businesses due to online people, you know, we have so many opportunities now, podcasts, YouTube channels, you know, all social media has provided such a huge opportunity for people to be able to garner exposure and build a brand, personal brand, corporate brand online more than ever before. So I'm excited for the future. It'd be interesting.
Absolutely. We have to be, because, you know, there's so much possibilities and it could be awesome. We could have an incredible future. And believing that gives us joy and hope. You know, there's so many people, even some of my friends, like, oh, you know, this is the end of the world. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, who knows? It could be the end of my world tomorrow. Tomorrow I could, you know, I don't know. Who knows? We all have limited time on this earth. We don't have to hover on that. Thinking about that all the time will just make us depressed. We have to believe that, you know, there's so much good to come. It's an exciting time that we live in. If we utilize everything we've got to our disposal, I mean, we can, you know, greatness can follow up. Absolutely. We just have to use what we can and enjoy the moment, man. Life can really be so good if we just learn to enjoy the moment.
Yeah. And I'm going to be looking up. I'm like, you know, I'm looking at these Gen Zs and they really are inspiring me. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to follow the Gen Zs. They're oh my goodness. Like I'm going to, yeah. Cause they honestly blow me away. They really do. They blow me away. It's like, man, I wish I was a part of that generation. And, you know, anywho, so, but thank you so much for being on the podcast. Amazing conversation. I mean, everything that you've been through and you had so many different life experiences to take you to where you are today. And now you have your own TV show talking about and built success for themselves. Amazing. And can people find, because I know you mentioned the app and I've never heard of it. So my brain is not like, I can't remember. So can people find where they can locate your TV show on your website? Is it
the list? Yeah, absolutely. They can just go to my website and there will be a YouTube video on there with it's a small promo of the show, what the show is about. And in the actual promo is a little video on the side that shows you exactly how the app looks, how to download it, what network to look for. But we will also have a YouTube channel called Women Power TV 2. There's actually a 2 next to it, Women Power TV 2. And yeah, they can just Google that, Google my name, and I'm sure it will come up. It's not loaded yet. We're only airing our first show on the network on Sunday. So the YouTube the shows on YouTube will only come on once it's aired on television. So once it's finished airing on television, we will load them onto YouTube and people can watch them and share them. But they can go onto my Instagram. I will definitely have the information on my Instagram as well. It's just Lorna Grayling, just my name and my surname. And there's loads of information on there as well. So they can definitely go on there. And I've already filmed and produced 12 shows. And we have some phenomenal women on there with such wisdom. It really is inspiring and life-changing, definitely.
Okay, guys, I highly recommend check out her show, buy her book. Her husband survived. He's alive, right?
He's alive. It's a wonderful story to read.
If you want to find out how he survived, buy the book. If you want to find out more about that story, buy the book. Kidnapped on Amazon.com or go to LornaGrayling.com to purchase the book and check out her TV show. Also, the website will be listed on the podcast episode description caption, so you can copy and paste it and plug it into your browser as well. Okay, guys, sending tons of love and light to everyone. And remember to be happy being well.